I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would please, to the book of Exodus in chapter number 12. Exodus in chapter number 12. Now, if you see me fumbling around down there under this desk in a little bit, I'm going to be checking my heart rate, all right? I want to keep a little check on it, and I don't want to get too much out of line. Amen. All right, I see Brother Robert waving at me. That means I've got to put this thing on. And all right, chapter number 12 of the book of Exodus. Let's stand back together for just a moment and read verses 12 and 13 of that chapter. Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 13. The Bible said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Please keep your Bibles open this morning. I'm going to be using some verses of Scripture and in the chapter here of chapter 12 to make some points by. And I'll tell you what I've done. I got to going over this morning, and because of, not only because for your sake, but for my sake as well, my health, I've cut the message in half. So that ought to please some of you real well. Amen. And I believe I can get enough in the first half and in the second half tonight to be enough that we'll need. Okay? And so let's bow our hearts together and ask God's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning hour, the good Sunday school time, the fellowship time that we've had, the songs that we've sang. My Lord, how the old hymns of the faith still stir my heart and bless my soul, and I'm grateful for them. I thank you for the privilege we have this morning to open up your word, be able to look into it, to be able, Lord, to set our affection upon things above, to come together as a church, as a body in Christ, and worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. There may be others today, Lord, serving other gods, and I'm sure there are. But I'm glad that we have the true God, the living God, the only God. You said, "For I am God, and beside me there is none else." I'm thankful for that. Lord, I'm thankful that you're so big that the heavens and the earth cannot contain you, and yet you're so small that you can get into the heart of every child of God. Now, bless us this morning as we look into thy word. Help us, I pray. Bless the preacher this morning as I stand. I pray you'll bless me with Holy Ghost power and unction and liberty. And bless, Lord, and help me in physically as well. Save sinners and do great wonders in the hearts of your people. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Amen. One preacher said the other night, heard a preacher say not long ago, he said, two of the greatest lies and biggest lies that's ever been told, said one of them is when the IRS comes to your door and tells you, said, "Don't worry, I'm just here to help you." And said the second lie is when a preacher gets up and said, "I'm just one more moment, I'm on my last point, and I'm closing right now." Said that's the two biggest lies that's ever been told in America, and he may not be far from that. Amen. All right, I want to try to take this chapter, chapter number 12, and begin the message today and preach a couple of points out of it, simple things, and preach to you for a little while on the thought of the power of the Passover. The power of the Passover. Thank God for the Passover of our Lord Jesus Christ. They called that Passover lamb the Paschal Lamb. And I want to thank him for that and what he has revealed to us about him and himself concerning that sacrifice in the Word of God. Now, the first three plagues that fell upon the land of Egypt, they fell equally, both upon the Israelites and upon the Egyptians. It wasn't on the Egyptians only, but on the Israelites as well. But when Moses, by the commandment of God, brought about the plague of the swarms of flies, it contained this statement in it. He said, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. And how true that was. The Lord made a distinction. I've said that so many times. And He made a difference. And I want you to get that through your heart and through your mind today, that there is a distinction between saved people and lost people. God doesn't hate lost people. He loves them. The Bible said He loved the world and gave Himself for it. He died on Calvary that sinners might be saved. But I'm going to say something. He said in the book of 1 John, He said, "Beloved, beloved," that's those of us that are saved, "now are we the sons of God." Doesn't say that about that lost crowd. I don't believe in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Not every man is my brother, and God is certainly not the God of every man. For it's proven in this text here in the land of Egypt. They had their own gods that were no gods. They put their faith in them, and they soon found that their gods let them down. But when we put our faith in our God, I'll guarantee you He'll never fail. He cannot fail us. And the Bible said that He will never forsake us. Now, we ought to shout over that. Amen. Never forsake us. Yeah. Now, somebody said, what about if we get in sin? Well, He may withdraw Himself, but He'll never forsake us. He may chasten us, but He'll never forsake us. I heard a preacher say once, and my Lord said, "I can't believe it." Said, "I'm actually under the chastisement of God." Said, I don't understand it. It just seems like I'm not even God's child. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When we fall under the chastening hand of God, we better rejoice. If there was ever a true example in the Bible that proves that we are God's child, it is the fact that God chastens those that belong to Him. You can say amen right there. And we can rejoice over that. Now, I want to simply go on to say, and from that point on, from the point of the swarms of flies, the children of Israel were exempted from the terrible inflictions by which the Egyptians were desolated. That is, that all those afflictions that came upon them did not come upon the nation of Israel. And I'm going to tell you, there are some things out there, believe it or not, that come upon the lost man and lost woman that does not come upon those that are saved by the grace of God. Now, we might see them living in prosperity, but I'm simply saying there are some afflictions that they go through that you and I will never have to worry about going through. For instance, when they need comfort and grace from the Lord, they're not going to get it. Somebody said, "Oh, I believe they will." Oh, I don't believe they will. The great Comforter does not abide with them. Now, God may show them some mercy in certain ways, but I'm just simply telling you, as a child of God, we're entitled to the comfort of the Holy Ghost that they do not have. They do not have the indwelling Spirit of God in them to comfort them like we do. And there are some blessed things that we have in this life that they do not have. They don't know how to pray. They don't have a throne room of grace to go to. They can cry out to God. Doesn't mean God's going to answer their prayers. I've seen people have a tragedy in their family, or an automobile accident, or this or that. And the first thing they do, they cry out, "Oh my God." Well, I'm going to tell you what, if they're lost, they can cry all they want. God's not going to hear that. You know what God hears from a lost man? "Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin. I call upon Your name in faith, believing You died on Calvary for me." And God will hear that from a sinner. He will. But I'm going to tell you, for a sinner to try to enter into the throne room of grace is an impossible thing. He has not the blood applied on the doorpost and the lintels of his heart as they did in the land of Israel on their houses. And he's not going into that holy place. That is another blessing that we have they don't have. That we can enter into the presence of God and they cannot do that. God made a distinction between Israel and Egypt, and He still does today. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying there's a difference between saved folks and the people out in the world. And I will say this, there's still a difference between God's people in Israel and the people out in the world. Amen. Folks may not believe that, but there is. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Now, during the days when Pharaoh and his people were actually crippled and confined by these plagues which came upon them, Moses and Aaron were busy among the tribes of Israel. And it was on these occasions of such times as this the ordinance concerning the Passover was brought to their attention. It didn't just come about and they knew nothing about it. I believe that during the times of the plagues, when they were in Egypt and not in the land of Israel, that Moses and Aaron were busy about going through the tribes and explaining to them how the Lord was going to deliver them out of that land. For as you remember the last time I preached on this, I said they were all congregated already into one place. They were ready to go. I'm going to tell you, when Moses come back and said, tonight the death angel is coming through, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintels of the house. It didn't take them long to do that, friend. They got busy and got it done. Why? Because they had already been told and prepared for that, and they were ready for its coming. I want to ask you something this morning. You have been told about it, but have you prepared your life for it? You have been preached to about it, but have you prepared for it? He is coming, ladies and gentlemen. And have you had the blood applied? That is the question this morning. Have you had the blood applied to your heart that when the death angel comes knocking on your door, will God pass over your door and not suffer the death angel to come in and destroy you as he did those in the land of Egypt?
Amen.
That's a good question to ask. Amen. Now, I've just got 2 points this morning. I've got a main point, and that is the Passover. And in that, I want to talk to you for a little while about the lamb and about the blood.
Amen.
And we're going to the house. But the Passover, the lamb, the Bible said in verse number 3, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Take to them every man a lamb. Now, you know, I want to say before we go any further, I've got to mention this, that in John 1:29, in the ministry of John the Baptist, when Jesus came walking from the shores of Galilee, John the Baptist pointed out to his disciples and said, behold, what? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, I'm going to tell you, they had been lambs that had been offered down through the years. But I cannot help but to believe that John the Baptist was in reference to the Paschal Lamb and the night of the Passover. Amen. When he told his disciples, there is the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. There is your protector. There is your provider. There is your pleaser. There is your satisfier. There is your sacrifice. There is your substitute. There is the one that you've been looking for. He's here. Praise God. I won't say this morning, he's here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God. Hey, I know he's coming in person again, but thank God he is here now in spirit and in truth in our midst today. That's right. He's not very far from every one of us, Paul said. Praise God. Just kind of reach out and touch him a little bit. See if he don't tickle your heart. Amen. You'll catch up a slow freight after a while. Amen. But the Lamb of God, and I think it was on that occasion that John the Baptist was referring to. I want to say, first of all, that he was suited for all.
Amen.
That lamb was suited for all. I want you to look in verse number 4. He said, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now, he said, if this house is too little, let him get his neighbor and let him share that lamb together. You say, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying there's no big I's and little U's with God.
Amen.
Friend, aren't you glad you don't have to be a somebody to be recognized by the Lamb of God? He said, if your household is too small, I'm going to tell you, I'd have never dreamed as a little old country boy in southern Praise God that God would have passed by where I was and lifted me out of sin and saved me by the word of God. I was in a house that had no notoriety except for drunkenness and reveling and rioting and fighting. But I'm glad, thank God, that the little can get saved just like the big. Hey, there's no big guys and little you's with God. We're all on level ground. As one preacher said one time, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. You better believe it is. Let the beggar come. Let the thief come. They both stand. They both stand side by side at Calvary. And although one of them ain't a bit higher than the other. Let the rich man come and the poor man come. And they'll stand on level ground at the cross. Let the blind and the halt and the maimed come. And let the healthy come. They'll all stand at the level at the foot of the cross. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Had Christ didn't put a premium on who could get saved, ladies and gentlemen. Let the black come. Let the black man come. Let the white man come. Let the red man come. Amen. Let the yellow man come. Let them all come. Let whosoever will come. They'll all stand level at the foot of the cross. Amen. Guarantee, amen, thank God for that. Aren't you glad when you got there that day, he didn't say, you don't have enough money. Aren't you glad when you got there, he said, you got too much money. I don't have to worry about that, and I don't think any of you do either. But, he didn't tell us that, no. That ground is level, it's suitable. That lamb was suitable for all. If it was too little for this family, it's called in another family. Amen. The family was too little for it, rather. They just called in another family. That is, if the one family couldn't eat it all, they just called in another family. I want to say secondly, listen carefully. He was to be without blemish. Look in verse number 5. The Bible said, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat. And that simply signifies the sinlessness of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, if you read in the book of Malachi, I believe it is, one of the problems there was that they got to offering sheep with blemishes. They give to God what they did not want themselves. I'm going to tell you, friend, God don't work that way. Amen. He wanted a lamb without spot and without blemish. Amen. He wanted the best that they had. May I say to you that He wants the best that you have this morning. Christ wants the best that I have this morning. He wants the best that we all have this morning. But that verse of Scripture definitely refers to the darling Lamb of God that was without spot and without blemish in this world that we're living in. The book of Hebrews says in chapter number 7 and verse 23, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This ain't even in my text, but I want to stop right there for a minute. He's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. You know what that word uttermost means? That means from the farthest end of the earth. As far as a man can get away from God, he still can't get away from it. From the very uttermost to this world, no man can go far enough to get away from God. No, that omnipotent hand of mercy and grace can reach way out there and reach the sinner. May I say this, it also means, that word uttermost means the depths of sin and depravity. Somebody said, oh, you don't know what I've done. He does. Now I'm going to tell you, his hand can reach further down and yours can reach up. I don't know how deep you are in sin, but I'm telling you right now, if you're lost this morning and deep in sin, you're not going to get deep enough that His hand of mercy cannot reach down into the depths of that sin and depravity and lift you out of it. Oh, He can reach down into the muck and the mire of the sin, to the uttermost, the drunk, oh yes, and the whoremonger, yes, and the prostitute, yes, and the thief, yes. He can reach them all. His hand of mercy can reach to the uttermost and save unto the uttermost them that will come unto God by Him. Better believe He can. He said, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Lord, help us. Amen. Undefiled. I never seen that before, but He's made higher than the heavens. Woo! You get a hold of that. He is undefiled. He is without sin. But ladies and gentlemen, He's made higher than the heavens. You know how high the heavens are? You got a tape measure to reach that far up? I don't. I don't know how high heaven is. But aren't you glad that He is higher? Oh, He is the exalted one this morning. You better believe He is. He is exalted, and we ought to exalt Him in our service. Buoy on exalted man. Exalt Christ. Lift Him up, ladies and gentlemen. You can't say too much good about Him. You can't brag on Him too much. Amen. You can't tell how good He's been in your life. Amen. We ought to thank Him for His goodness and what He's done in our heart and our life. How He's lifted us up and saved us and kept us, provided for us and blessed us and helped us. Thank God this morning for us. Amen. That's right. Amen. I was about ready to vote Josh out of the church. Amen. He's harmless, undefiled. He needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for His own sins, then for the people's. For this He did once when He offered Himself. He didn't have to offer for the sins of the people, then for the sins of Himself. He just offered Himself one time. And that took care of the whole deal. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad He's not had to suffer from the foundation of the world, though He suffered one time. Thank God when He entered into that holy place in heaven. Amen! Thank God when He got done with the work, He's the only high priest I know that sat down at the right hand of God. Amen. The rest of them couldn't sit down. Their work was never done. But His is done. Can you get a hold of that? Can you get a hold of that? Salvation has been wrought. It's been brought to man. When He sat down, He said, "It is finished," and it is. Thank God. Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. The only high priest I know that sat and rested. Now I'm telling you, one of these days God's going to look at him and say, "Son, get up. It's time to go." There's going to be a trumpet and a voice. That same Jesus that sat down to rest, thank God's going to finish His business that He had when He started upon this earth. He's going to finish it someday. When those men entered into that tomb and saw those garments in one place and that napkin folded in another one, that's like they do it when they're sitting in a place dining in those days. I'm sure when Peter run in, John run in, they said, "He ain't done. He'll be back after a while." So how you know? Well, there's your napkin. Laying over here by itself, folded up nice and neat. It's not crimpled and water. He's laying there full. He's coming back. Amen. I'm going to tell you, He is coming back. Bless His wonderful name. Amen. I got to hurry. My time's about gone, so am I. Amen. Now, He wants to be examined 4 days. I believe it's in, if I can read right, verse number 3. I've got to get over to my text first. Verse number 3. To speak unto the congregation of Israel, saying, "In the 10th day of this month shall they take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." And look in verse 6. "And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." Now, from the 10th to the 14th. Is that 3 or 4 days? Huh? Is that 4 days? Now, they say the Lord was on the earth 3.5 years. He may have been. But they examined that lamb 4 days. Now, I wouldn't contradict any of the theologians. They know more about the Bible than I'll ever know. But I've always, when I read that, I can't help but to feel like that he was on this earth for 4 years as far as his public ministry. And the reason for, the reason was he was examined all those years. Amen. He was examined by his disciples. And John the Baptist said, he's the Lamb of God. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Jesus said, flesh and blood have not revealed that to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. Now I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, people knew 4 years, they watched him. They kept their eye on him. Even, when he was scourged, he was examined by scourging. And being examined by scourging and examined by Pilate, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Then I'm telling you, they can find no fault. They examined him and found no fault in him. I want to ask you this morning, have you examined him real good? Have you looked him up one side, down the other? If you have you found any fault in him? I've not found any fault at all in Jesus, friend. He's always treated me good, Brother Troy. He's done me right. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to thinking yesterday how good God's been to me. Son, I'm telling you, if I could run and have myself a running spell, God's been good to this old boy. Amen. When I look back, if you could only see where Jesus brought me from and where I am today, you'd understand the reason why I love him so. Praise God, I was deep in sin, in darkness and living in death, living amongst the tombs like the man in Mark 5. But praise God, he came by one Sunday morning and all the demons of hell had to take their flight because Jesus passed by my way and commanded them to go that he might live there. Brother Steve was Sunday school and talking about the temple, how the Lord made a scourge of cords and drove them from the temple. He said, well, the tabernacle wasn't there. The Ark of the Covenant wasn't there, which represented the presence of God. And probably for 400 years, them people just been coming there like they was. And we're going right on worshiping God. And God wasn't even around. And he let those money changers in. He let them sell doves, sheep, and all that stuff in the outer court. Nothing was ever said about it. You know why? No God there. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus showed up and got him a scourge of small cord, God got on the scene. For the first time in 400 years, are you listening to me? God walked into that temple, buddy. Now I'm going to tell you, when God shows up, sin's got to go. I don't care whether it's at the temple or it's the house of God or your house or in your heart or my heart. When God shows up, sin's got to get out. Thank God. I'm going to tell you, he'll see to it again. You know how it got out? He drove it out. He drove it. Get out of here. He drove it out. You think he's going to let sin live in your heart with him? No, when he comes in, he's going to drive out sin. Thank God. Amen. That's what makes us pure. Not on our sin, but because Christ drives it out. Thank God. You better believe he will. He'll drive out sin. That's his wonderful name. Amen and amen. Now, the flesh was to be roasted. This typifies God's wrath poured out upon Christ on Mount Calvary. Now, I don't need to turn there. You've read Isaiah 53. I don't need to turn there. Just read to you, when God saw the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. But it was there that God poured all his wrath. He was roasted with fire. Oh, and I'm going to tell you, God is a consuming fire.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That typifies his holiness and his purity. Oh, yes. It was roasted with fire. All the wrath of God was poured out upon the Son of the living God. You better believe it was. Amen. Then it says he was to be roasted with bitter herbs in verse number 8. I believe it is. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall you eat it. Those bitter herbs, they represent the bitter times that Christ was to face upon this earth. And folks, I'm going to tell you, he faced bitter times. Have you ever thought about his life? He told one man, he said, "The birds of the air have nests." And he said, "The Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head." He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. But by his stripes, thank God, we're healed, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm going to tell you now, hey, when they roasted that sacrifice with fire, it was with bitter herbs, representing the bitterness of the trials of the Son. But the bitter herb he had to drink was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he drank that cup. The last drink that he drank was your sin and my sin. He drank it all, bless his wonderful name. Thank God, but it also represents the trials and things we're going to have to go through. You don't think he's going to let us get through this world without some persecutions and trials, do you? Paul said we would. He said we'd have to go through them. We don't go through them. I don't think much that we're a child of God. He said we don't go through any of them. Now I've got to hurry. Now, the lamb was to be eaten in haste. In verse number 11, the Bible said, "And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Hey, they, as you and I today, was to take or was to be prepared for immediate, to be prepared to leave, to move out immediately. They were to eat it in haste. In other words, don't hesitate. Eat it in haste. Eat it quickly. And eat it as you're, and be ready to move out. I want to ask you something this morning. Let me just say this. I got to go back here to get to here. When Christ knocked on your door, did you eat him in haste? When Christ first came to you, did you accept him as quickly as possible? Did you say, "Oh yes," or did you put him off? Have you said, "Oh yes," yet? Or are you still putting him off? I tell you, accept him with haste. Take him now. Don't put him off. Don't delay. Take him today. Thank God he's here this morning. I can turn this stool upside down. I know he's here. Praise God. Hey, amen. I feel him dead in my soul. And how can I not get heavy when I feel the presence of God in my heart today? Sorry about that, Mr. Stool. Had a hard time picking it up, but then kicking it over. Let's run a quick check here. See how things is going. Amen. Woo! Come on. You can do it. Beat. I don't even think I got a heartbeat. Oh, it ain't beating. I'm dead. Y'all want to bury me? It won't beat. It's so high it can't register it. No oxygen. Oh boy. I just got something. It's quit again. I'm dead. Where y'all want to bury? Where y'all want to bury me at, honey? According to this thing, I'm gone. I got news for this thing. I ain't gone yet. I'm still hanging around. I ain't going nowhere. He's ready for me to go. Neither are you. Hey, our times are in God's hands. We're going. Hey, they didn't go anywhere. If God told them to move out, they stayed there. When God told them to move out, they moved out. But not until God told them to. I got to check this thing out. I'll just talk here a minute, see what happens. The lamb was eaten with haste. The Passover lamb was to be eaten entirely. Verse 9 and 10. Look at verse number 9 and 10. Eat not a bit raw nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs, and with his and the pertinence thereof, that's his guts, in case you're wondering. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Hey, they had to take all of him. All right, here's the point there. It was all of Christ or none of Christ. He's not a smorgasbord that you can choose and pick from. And I said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when you choose Christ and accept Him, you'll accept the good times as well as the bad times. Amen. 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 You have the thigh as well as the guts. Amen. Amen. Eat Him all, they said. Don't let none of it remain. You can't leave any of Christ out. You've got to have all of Him. Isn't that wonderful too? Amen. I like it. You can't pick certain parts and leave others. Amen. We can't take the good and leave the bad. We can't take the good times and leave out the bad times. We got to take it all. Amen. That's right. Well, I finally got a reading here. I'm not as bad right now as I thought it was. I've rested a minute. I'm 94. Oxygen. Oh, that's oxygen. That ain't good. And 98 heart rate. That ain't bad. Hallelujah!
Amen.
But that'll shoot it up. Amen. We'll watch it. Y'all don't watch that thing now. That's for me to watch. I hold it down here and you can't see it. Ha, ha, ha. Amen. Now the blood. Look at verse number 7. Verse 7 said, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts, side posts, and on the upper post, a door post of the houses wherein they dwell. The blood. Doorpost and the lintels of the house. Make sure the blood was on the altar. The brazen altar of sacrifice. They put the blood. The blood was put on the altar in the Holy of Holies. But the question is, had the blood been put upon your heart? Amen. Does Christ see the blood? If He does, when He sees it, He'll pass over you. Now, when I first read that, I thought it meant that Christ, when He sees the blood, He just passes over. That ain't what it means. That word Passover means He'll hover over. Amen. Somebody said, how does God do that? He can be everywhere at the same time. No problem with God.
Amen.
If you'll read your text, He makes that very clear, that He'll pass over every house. That is, He'll hover over every house that has the blood. He'll pass over that the destroyer cannot come in to harm you. And aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad when that blood's applied, here comes the old devil? Well, I think I'll take that soul. Jesus is there with the blood. I think not! Well, what makes you think so? Lord of heaven and earth, there's the blood! How did you get up out of the grave? By my own power! Where did you take that blood? I carried it into heaven.
Amen,
amen and amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Now that blood was a sign of deliverance from the last plague. Guess what that last plague was? That last plague was death. This night the death angel shall pass through, but that blood, ladies and gentlemen, that blood was deliverance from that last plague, which was death. But it was also a sign of their ensuing safety. Verses 12, verse 13, verse 23. Verse 23 said, for the Lord shall pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when He seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in under your houses to smite you. Now I won't say that. Hey, that blood was not only deliverance from death, of the plague. But ladies and gentlemen, it was also deliverance from the destroyer. Oh, yes. Somebody said, who is the destroyer? If you don't know, you're dumber than a box of rocks. Praise God. He delivered us from death, but he delivered us from the devil. The destroyer. Hey, God, we don't have to worry about being destroyed. Some woman wrote me a letter about what I preached the last night I preached up on West Virginia, questioning me about some questions. Brother, men die and burn forever and this and that. And I thought, how foolish can you possibly be? All you got to do is go to Luke 16 and answer that one question very simply. Yes, in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. He was there! Better believe it. I'm going to tell you, he stepped over. He stepped over older. Yeah, Lazarus, every time he went out. Now, let's see what's said here. Had you asked, if you had asked Israel in that day where they were going, none of them could have given you a reply. They didn't know where they were going. They knew what Moses told them. They had never been there. They didn't know the way. They had no idea where they were going. But I can tell you one thing. They didn't know the way. But I'll tell you what they would have done. They had pointed you to that blood on that doorpost and that lintel of that house. They had pointed you to that. And here's what they had said. We pass not from hence beneath the blood until Jehovah summons us. Yeah. I like that. We're under the blood. But someday, Jehovah Jesus, amen, will summon us from this place, from under the blood. Praise God. Thank God. Oh, yes. He'll say, come up hither. And ladies and gentlemen, he'll bring us out from an under the blood. You better believe he will. Into the divine presence of God Almighty. Amen. I see some of y'all didn't get a hold of that. Now, notice this. They were not to depart out of the house until morning. Look at verse number 23. The Bible said, is it verse 23? Or verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike it on the lintels and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Don't go out till morning come. I wish I knew the words to it. Come morning. Come morning. Amen. We'll sit down by the river. Come morning. We're going to be leaving here. Yes. I'm telling you, the sun's coming up for you and I. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't long in coming up. Yes. I'll tell you, we're into the wee hours of the morning. I want to show you. I want you to listen to me. Chapter 25 of the book of Luke, Matthew, those 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, when they were the cry of the bridegroom said, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. I'm telling you, that is not the rapture. He's not coming at midnight, folks. He's coming in the morning hour. You better believe he is. The sun, the S-O-N is going to rise in the morning hour. They couldn't go out the morning. We're under the blood. But things come in the morning. Yes. Praise God, are we going to pass out what? Pass out from... I'm about to pass out now. Yeah. They going to pass out of their house. Can you get a hold of it now? They coming today when we're going to lay down this old robe of flesh and pass out of this house we're dwelling in. Amen, and it's going to be morning time. Come morning. We're going to lay her aside and sit down by the river. Amen. With our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. One more note and I'm done. They did not move till word came from Moses through the elders. And the... Can you read that? And they were laden with jewels of gold, silver, and raiment. They marched out of Egypt. And Egypt and bondage
were left behind them. Not bad. I'm doing good now to slow down. 99, 88. 88 is the heart rate. They took those gold, that silver, and that raiment with them. They went in with nothing. They went out full. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me real quick, and I'm done. Now, I know those jewels and stuff was milled. They used those to build the tabernacle. But I'm going to tell you, when they left Egypt, they were laden with jewels of gold and jewels of silver. That was their reward for the years of labor that they had put in. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're going to leave here someday, and I trust it will all, every one of us, will be laden down with jewels of silver and gold. That is with the rewards that God has given us. And let us hear Him say, when we meet Him in the sky, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." And we'll cast those jewels of gold and silver at His feet. Say, it all belongs to You. All of it. All of it. The power of the Passover. It brought them out. And one of these days, it's going to bring you and I out. It protected them while they were there on that night. But when the sun rose the next morning, they went out of that house and not a dog wagged his tongue while they moved out. And they left with all the gold and silver they needed. I'll tell you, if we've served God, we're going to leave with all the gold and all the silver that we need. Let's stand together.